We'd like to welcome you. We'd like to welcome you again to another special show on Africa on the Move, because we have special guests who are going to thrill you and cheer you and enlighten you with information and news that you can use. And that's basically what we're going to be doing tonight. We have two lovely young ladies who are community organizers and activists in their various areas. They will briefly introduce themselves, and we're going to talk about a little bit with them about what's going on in their community and in their world. First, we have with us Sister Fran Jones. She's out of the West Coast of California. And then we have with us the King, Al Shirley Harvey. She's located in Richmond, Virginia. First and foremost, on behalf of Africa on the Move, I'd like to welcome both of y'all to Africa on the Move. Welcome, Fran, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, babe. Thank you very much.
Well, I just love you. I just want to tell you that, because you said I was a young lady. Oh, my goodness.
Of course. Yeah, we would like to start off with an audience who never had a chance to hear y'all before. I would like to ask y'all, just briefly, can y'all just give us a brief introduction of who y'all are? Sister Fran and then Sister Shirley.
Well, my name is Francis Jigga Jones. I'm originally from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm residing at this time out in Sacramento, California. I've worked in the healthcare industry, and mental health industry, and at present, I'm a certified national herbalist. I broadcast, I produce and program direct for Divas 2 Radio, which is a blog talk radio unit, and I produce several shows, and they're all community and individually oriented issues that cover the day. I have worked with different organizations mostly all of my life, and I am very community and collective oriented. That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
On the West Coast, on the East Coast, we have Sister Shirley. Tell us a little something about you.
Hi, my name is L. Shirley Harvey. The L stands for Luscious. And I reside here in Richmond, Virginia. I've been here since 1978 when the Lord called me to come to this place. Didn't know a thing about it or anybody in it, and brought my two children here after working for IBM in upstate New York. Since I've been here, most all of my work has been with governments. From the state to the federal government here in the city of Richmond. And I got interested because nobody seemed to stand up for what's going on here in Richmond. And you have to be here in Richmond to understand that. Fran understands what I'm talking about. But usually people who decide to do something in Richmond for Richmond usually come from someplace else, or they leave and then they come back to Richmond to do something. But I found it was such a need to change the way things were going here in Richmond that I decided to run for city council. I didn't really decide. God decided it for me. You must know the truth. But then I realized that how much was going on that was not right in government, even with people who are Africans, and I'll put that in parentheses and quotation marks. Just because they look like you doesn't mean that they are for you. Found that out so drastically here in the city of Richmond. And then after trying to be right on council, I got thrown off council because a lot of people just told a whole lot of things that weren't true, and you expect that. I didn't expect it back in 1994, though, but I expect it now. So now I'm giving another chance to try to do something to me. I'm running for mayor in the city of Richmond. I'm having a great time doing it, too. And I have two children and three grandchildren, all girls.
All right. First and foremost, before we get started, I'd just like to inform my guests that I'm in the seat tonight, and I take the heat. I would define it, and I would stand behind it. And given the fact that I made that statement to you, Sister Shirley, in terms of your opening introduction, I'd like to ask you one question. What is the thing about, usually if somebody would do something, they normally come from outside of Richmond. What are you saying about Richmonders who were born in Richmond?
Well, it seems like they either have a closed mind or blinded eyes. Or maybe, you know, this was the capital of the Confederacy. And a lot of times what happens in cities that have been cruelly misused, where they cruelly misused people and black people were truly misused in this town, they learned not to speak up. They learned not to say anything. You know, it's almost like, matter of fact, a number of groups came through Richmond to try to do something when I was even back here in 1978. It had happened a few years prior to that, though. But some of the people were still here, and some of them were from the Panther Party. And I met a young man now that was from, what was that? They had some kind of standoff with the government, and he was hiding here in Richmond, to tell you the truth. And they were from Greensboro, the Greensboro Five or whatever it was that went on back then. See, because I was in upstate New York, so I didn't understand a lot of things that were going down here from 1969 through 1978. I didn't know what was happening. And the people just are, I think, afraid to speak up. And then we have a group of people here who are African-American, let me put it this way, Negroes. We don't know what we are. But what has happened with them is that they have decided that they're going to stand for each other. They're in a group called the Boule, and they are here in Richmond, and they just about do everything that the rich white people want them to do in order to keep the other black people from taking the right stand. So it's really kind of crazy living here, but I can understand why God wanted to change this place. There's so much of an opportunity, so much opportunities here, but the people are seemingly afraid to stand up and take hold of what's already theirs and use it, and especially the government.
Sister Fran, you say you were originally born in Richmond.
Born and raised from Jackson Ward.
You found some of the characterization that was just articulated by Sister Shirley to be sort of accurate?
It was right as rain. That's the only way I can say it. She was as right as rain. Yes. Richmond is a real different place, and I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, right down in Jackson Ward, 600 block of St. James Street. That's where I grew up. And I left Richmond for the first time early. I was 19, 20. And that was one of the first things that I noticed when I moved only 110 miles away, the attitude of the people, like different, you know. And since then, I've lived up and down the eastern seaboard and all the way across the country and in the middle of the country. And there is no place when it comes to a philosophy or psychology like the African-American community in Richmond. There's nothing like it. And Richmond is my home. I'm part of it, you know, but you have to go outside and turn around and take a look back to see and to understand. And people do not fight. They're not fighters. But like Shirley said, you have to realize Richmond was the seat of the Confederacy. You know, the first slaves, some of the first slaves that put their feet on the ground here in North America did it right down at the James River between 1619 and 1621. You know, we have been programmed. You know, we were stripped of everything we had psychologically, physically, family, everything, religion, everything. You know, we have slave mentality. We were slaves as a collective for years, and that is something that just does not go away. It was bred into us, and it has to be bred out. And I'm sorry, the breeding out part is not complete. And Shirley was absolutely right.
Hey,
you guys, the Philadelphia won.
Philadelphia won. Okay. Well, audience, tonight Philadelphia were playing New York Giants.
Oh, yes.
Philadelphia won. So given the fact y'all didn't have update report on the game, let's continue. Sound like to us we could do a show just on Richmond alone, but we're going to save that for another program. Let's move forward to our daily topic. One of the major reasons inviting y'all on the show tonight is to get a perspective of what's going on in the back of y'all woods or y'all world. Sister Fran, as an activist, as an organizer, as a female, what's going on in your world? Share some news there.
Yeah, well, they're revving up for the election out here. And now has focused on election 2012, and not so much the presidential part of the election as is propositions that are facing the California public. They have several. One big one that all of the organizations, food organizations, protesting, Occupy, you name it, have gathered together on, and that is the Proposition 37 that we face out here in California month after next, November. And this proposition is a very simple and a very basic proposition, but the opposition has spent millions of dollars against it, and all Californians are asking for is that food companies, food producers who use genetically modified foods, label it. Just let people know that they label it. And something that simple has caused a tremendous row out here, a tremendous row out here. And like I said, Monsanto and all those major companies who produce these genetically modified foods are spending millions saying that, you know, those who are for a proposition, for labeling, that it's going to do this, it's going to raise the cost of food, this, that, and other. It has nothing to do with them doing any testing or anything else. Just like on a label, you see that salt is in it, you see that sugar is in it. We want to see whether or not genetically modified product is in it, and that's all we're asking. But to do that would defy those large global conglomerates around food conglomerates around the world, and they're afraid that if this proposition passes as law here in California, then it's going to have a ripple effect all across the country and predominantly the world. And that's where we are right now.
That's interesting, Sister Fran, because I noticed on national news they are not saying anything about their proposition. You normally, when it comes to California, what's going on in California, the media have a tendency to pick up on issues.
What we're doing. Well, Monsanto and
the analysis on why that particular proposition is not being emphasized or televised on major.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly. I can tell you exactly because they're spending millions. The last time I checked, which was about 3 weeks ago, they'd already spent $4 or $5 million. You know, on this little proposition. This is a proposition. This is not a candidate. This is a proposition, a local proposition, a state proposition.
I wish you would tell the listening audience, though, see, because I know because I've been listening to you. But what does genetically manufactured foods mean? And does it affect those people over in California?
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good point. Thank you. GMOs. You'll be hearing about it if you haven't already heard it. It means genetically modified organism. What does that mean? We're talking about anything that's biological that has been genetically engineered. When something, even an apple, has been genetically engineered, it has been changed. Now, what caused the row is Monsanto's producing and selling and distributing all around the world GMOs, mostly corn seed and soy seed. And these seeds, while the corn grows and it looks like corn, it doesn't act the same way corn does. And no one knows what it does to the human body. You know, the soy, it looks like soy. And we have a lot of soy products. We eat a lot of soy products, you know, but we just don't know what it is going to do. There's a film out. You can see it for free and it's on YouTube. It's called The World According to Monsanto. This is going to explain it from day one all the way through for you. That's something that I could never do. So I encourage you to look at it. It's free. It's on YouTube. It's called The World According to Monsanto. And it affects us all because this is an argument that's been going on around the world and rallying and getting louder and louder and louder and louder for the last 10 years. This is not something that happened last year. You've been consuming genetically modified products without your knowledge for about 10 years.
That's deep. That's good, yeah, Sister L. Sherry Holly.
Well, let me just say this because this is a very important thing that Fran is talking about. And it greatly concerns me, too, because not only does it deal with the people in California, but it deals with everybody around the world. And you're eating canned products or you're eating things that may not even be canned. The fact that they grew them and that it does not tell you what effect this is going to have on your body, like on a can. If you see, it tells you how many calories are in it and whether there's salt and all these other things. But they do not want to tell us, the people in California, what's in it. Now, why would it be that they would not want to tell us? There's got to be something wrong with it. Why would anybody want to spend all that money to keep us from knowing what they have done to that product? So we have to look someplace else, you know, to make sure that we're not consuming those foods. And it may mean when you ask why wouldn't the people know, or you know, the same people who are doing the modifications also own the radio, the television, the
exactly the newspapers,
even
don't
the
leave
internet,
them out.
You know, they control so much stuff that you can't get your word out. It's amazing that we're even able to come on these kind of programs, but after a while, they're going to cut this off, too. They have to.
Yeah, that's because, why you have to get everything in while you can.
Yeah, we're in the very last days, and when we talk about this one world government that they're trying to incorporate, then if they give us foods and so forth, and even on my Facebook page, I have something about foods today, Fran, where they're telling you where not to get your food because they got all kinds of crazy stuff.
I saw it. That was good, Shirley. I saw it. It's good.
So,
y'all need to go to Shirley's page and look at that.
Yes, L. Shirley Harvey, if anybody wants to go look. But,
okay,
it's time.
Finish your point, and then we'll have you share something with us, what's going on in your world.
Yeah, but can be very devastating to people. And we don't know what it does to senior citizens or babies, you know, for their growth and development. And we have to do something in order to stop this because people don't even know they're eating it. That's the worst part.
They sure don't.
Yeah.
All right, so we have genetic modified food proposition. We want to at least let the people know. Well, now if it's genetic modified, that's the issue going on the West Coast. What's going on the East Coast with you, Sister Shirley?
Well, it's going over all through the world, as far as I'm concerned anymore. You know, I have learned more about what's going on in the world in the last 6 or 7 months than I have ever known before my whole life. And the reason for that is I'm sure just like with everybody else, you get consumed with what's happening to you in your own hometown. And a lot of times that's what those that would be against you hope you do. Just keep yourself concerned with what's happening right here. And then once you do that, we can do anything else we want to. And that's probably how Monsanto was able to go ahead and do these genetically modified foods, just because we weren't paying attention. But we aren't paying attention about a lot of things, you know. For example, there is this man whose name now is George Soros. He's a billionaire. This man has over $50 billion. I don't know. He might even have way more than that. He might be a trillionaire. But he's 82 years old. And he supposedly just got engaged again, too. But he's supposed to be a homosexual, so I don't know how that happened. But anyway, he is giving money to Barack Obama. Now, everybody probably say that's black and say, well, don't you mess with Barack Obama. I don't care who Barack Obama is. I was here before he was, that's for sure. So I'm not going to let who he says he is deter me from trying to find out the truth. Well, this man is giving just to his campaign, which is like giving him pennies, $1 million for his campaign. I don't know if George Soros was behind the, what was that pact that went around trying to get people registered in 2008?
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but those people, you know, and they have come up with some ways, you know, to get people elected. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You have to watch what's happening in your own hometowns when it comes to being elected, because they can keep your name off the ballot. They can do lots of things that you wouldn't think that they could do. But this man, George Soros, whose name originally was Giorgio Schwartz, which means that he was a Jewish man who was born in 1930 but went around the camps where Jews were killed, helping people, the people who were killing them, to do the things that they were doing. He even was able to participate in getting some of the belongings of the Jews, and I don't know if that's how he first started making his money or not, but I can tell you this from my own practices myself. What I do every year is I wait till the end of the year, then I go buy my clothes, the end of the season. I wait for the winter clothes, I go in about February. For the summer clothes, I go like at the end of August. You can make a lot of money doing that. You can save a lot of money doing that. And if you have as much money as this man, you can cause things to sway either way you want it to. And he is a person who is trying to make the world all have the same money. And his father was one who participated in coming up with the language for people that would be a one-world language. Now, when you look at that on the outset, it doesn't seem like it would be too bad, but the whole point is they already have one. I don't care where you go, Lee, and you should know. Fran, I know you do. I've been a few places in the world myself, and wherever you go, they can speak English. I don't care where you go. Somebody can speak English, but they're trying to make this change.
One word.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me do this and let my audience know that my phone lines are open. We have two callers. Callers, when I tell you you can speak, I can go by your last four numbers. We have, let's take a call from caller 6029. Your question or comment based upon what's the format tonight, caller. Caller 6029.
I just want to ask this question of your host, your guest. One of the things, philosophically speaking, you know, this whole notion that money trumps all. It seems to me that it's a philosophy that's reiterated over and over and over again. As a consequence, you got many, many people who think that, in fact, the only thing that really matters is money. Now, the question is, how do you get people, particularly those who don't have large sums of money, how do you get them to understand the inherent danger of this philosophy of nothing matters but money? And let me just throw it out to your guest.
Okay, like you, thank you, caller. Can we get a response to that? Then we'll go to our second caller. Anybody like to respond to that question?
Yeah, I would like to respond to that. Just respond to that. And we are programmed to assume that money conquers all. Those of us who know it's not true, it is us to go from person to person, each one teach one about collectivity. You know, there are more things in the world than money, and there are ways to get things outside of money. There are a couple of places here in the United States who don't even use the American dollar. They have their own barter system and they have their own currency. And it's a couple of places up in the Northwest area and up in Montana. And these people have learned that the American dollar is not everything. You have to learn to work as a collective. You know, you have to learn to barter and trade. You have to work against the system that is working against you. And then you have to unbrainwash yourself and understand that day after day after day you're bombarded with, you have to have this, you have to have that, you have to have the other. You have to become logical thinkers and realize that a lot of the things that we run after money for to purchase, we do not need. It does not help us. In fact, it hurts us. So each one who's aware must go to one who's not aware and teach it. And then you have to do it one by one by one until we become a collective.
And let me just say this real quick. It's going to be really hard at this stage of the game to tell anybody anything, because what we've said before is that they have communication basically blocked. And it's just like I was saying, this year I learned a whole lot more than I have known about the world in the last 6 months than I have in the last 60 years. And I'm saying to you, to people, you got to tell as many people as you can, but they've got to start reading. This stuff is all written down somewhere. They have to do that for the sake of history. They like looking at themselves. So it's written down somewhere. But we have to stand fast and do as much as we can while we still have time. Shows like programs like this might help somebody if we're talking about the right things. But, you know, people have a lot of money, but they have to learn to save some money. They have to put it up. They have to make good use of it. It's just like being a rapper and like Puff Daddy and walking around with white fur coats on. What good is that? What could you do with it that really would help somebody? And if we learn to join together like we could with all this money that we have, we do have more money than they do if we put it together, then we could be a force to reckon with.
All right, let me stop right there, since Shirley, let me get this other call in. Caller 7628, your question or comment, please. Caller 7628, your question or comment, please.
Lee, Brother Lee, this is Yao out of Washington, D.C.
How you doing, brother?
What's that? Right,
I'm just listening to the program. I just tuned in. And I agree with the sister who just spoke. And that's all I have to say.
All right, brother. Thank you for listening. Continue to listen.
Thank you for listening.
And don't just spread the word that we own the airways and we're going to be in the seat taking the heat. We're going to be defining things and standing behind it. The sisters tonight are speaking truth to power. And we'd like to thank those who have, you know, taken time to listen to information that we can hopefully that we can use. In closing, we got about 1 minute left. Can I get about a 30-second closing on whatever you would like to summarize based on what you had stated earlier for our people remember?
This is Shirley Harvey. I just wanted to say, almost everything that we're talking about is on the Internet. If you would just get a subject, some subjects that you want to know about and go on the Internet, you'd be shocked at what you can find. And if you don't have a computer, go to the library. They have libraries with computers everywhere these days, and we're missing it. The word says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge, and let's not be one of those that perishes. Thank you so much, Lee, for letting me come on tonight.
Okay, so
and that
friend,
first caller,
excuse me. All I wanted to say and leave this with you is you cannot continue to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. A very wise man once said that. You need to think about it.
I think in closing, one of the things I'd like to leave with the audience today is something I just heard you say, Sister Fran, and I think, Sister Shirley, it all ties into one thing. You must work against and fight against the system and fight against you. Capitalism is destroying not only us, but all of humanity. So we have a moral obligation to fight against it and destroy it and transform it. So on that note, we'd like to thank everybody. We'd like to encourage people to continue to listen to Africa on the Move. Until next time, let's continue to get organized, get organized, get organized. We'll see you next time.
Hotel.
Of Africa on the Move.